In the days of the Reformation, Lutherans insisted that justification is the doctrine on which the church stands or falls. But is this still the case?
Pastor Hans Feeney talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In a world of moral anarchy, is discussing how man is justified still the most important conversation we need to have? The answer is yes, because we'll never regain a proper understanding of marriage or human identity or even morality itself until we first understand what it means to be made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ.
You can meet and hear Pastor Hans Feeney making the case for the centrality of justification at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. You'll find registration information at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
The world is changing. Soon, there will only be the conquered. And the conquerors.
Step into the spotlight.
You are a good man.
Step into the spotlight.
With a good heart. And it's hard for a good man to be a king.
That's the trailer for the movie Black Panther. You have probably seen numerous commercials for it, social media promotion of it as well. It's being hailed as kind of a revolutionary movie for some reason. We're going to be talking about this movie and reviewing it. It also has a distinctly religious theme to it, although not Christianity. It does have a religious theme in it as well. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll review the movie Black Panther with Pastor Ted Geese here in the first half hour of the program, and then Dr. Corey Moss joins us to talk about a debate among Roman Catholics that has to do with the church's authority and a school of thought called Integralism. Joining us to review the movie Black Panther, Pastor Ted Geese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
How do you explain, given the fact that Black Panther is a minor star in the universe that he occupies, the superhero universe, how do you explain the media attention that this movie's getting?
I don't know. It's a Marvel movie, so Marvel movies will get a lot of media attention anyways. Like, they've got a big juggernaut behind them, Disney, that, you know, knows all the ways to get information out about their movies, and of course everything's all building up to this big movie coming up later this year, the Infinity War movie. So they're kind of like getting everything rolling for that. But then there's this other thing that kind of swirls around the movie now, this movie in particular, lots of movies. We saw a lot of it online around the last Star Wars movie as well. But around this, there's just so much online maneuvering and haranguing about this movie coming from every direction. And I think that there's people who want to deride it. There's people who want to like heap accolades on it, like beyond probably what is necessary or, you know, what it should receive just because the movie itself exists. And I think that why all of this is such a big thing right now is because the movie is predominantly, like, it's almost a completely all black, all African American or Pan-African cast, right? Like, there's people from, you know, Caribbean countries and from different parts of Africa and Europe who are, you know, of African descent, and American actors of African descent that are in this movie. So everything kind of leading up to this lately, you've got, you know, everything going on in the States with the Black Lives Matter movement and so much kind of in the zeitgeist of the moment. So when you have this movie that is almost completely a black cast, you could see where it would generate people's opinions just in general. Even internationally, a friend of mine on Facebook named Obrad from Eastern Europe, he said, you know, like, it's probably a very good movie. what is bad is that the leftists are using it for their silly ideological propaganda. But then again, you know, you also get other things going on in the alt-right community and different places, people saying all sorts of things. So it's kind of an interesting movie in that regard to go and sit down and watch. And what I try to do before I see a movie is try to avoid as much as I humanly can, because I don't want to, you know, have ideas already implanted in my mind before I sit down to watch it in the first place. So yeah, it's this is a big movie right now, and it's interesting, all of the stuff going on with it.
So by way of answering the question, who is Black Panther, we have to go back to some of his backstory that was embedded in another Marvel movie, don't we?
Yeah, he was introduced in the previous Captain America movie, the Civil War movie. All of these movies are starting to like kind of connect together. The thing about the Black Panther movie, which is actually a strength of it, is that you could just go sit down and watch this movie and it's a completely enclosed movie. Like it doesn't require all the rest of it, really. But it does have its roots back there. Like this, the comic book character has been around for 52 years. So there's all sorts of other stuff leading up to this if people are comic book readers along the way. But in this Marvel Cinematic Universe, which they are like working on right now, he was introduced back in Captain America Civil War. His father, the king of this African nation that's kind of like Shangri-La or El Dorado, like this kind of secluded African nation that is really like a hidden place. This king there has come out of seclusion to sign the Sokovia Accord, which is this part of this Marvel Universe stuff that was connected to the Age of Ultron movie. And he comes out to kind of, with other people connected to the UN, comes and signs all of this paperwork for this accord, and then he's killed. So the king is killed, and now his son is able to become king, and his son takes on the mantle of not just king of Wakanda, this fictional country, but also the mantle of Black Panther, which is a superhero, national hero, semi-religious persona that he then takes on. So this is Chadwick Boseman. He's the one playing T'Challa, who is the son of the king who dies, and now he himself is going to become king of Wakanda and the Black Panther.
So what is the primary conflict of this film? Who is the nemesis, so to speak?
Well, the nemesis comes in kind of two parts. In a way, the movie is split into two halves when it comes to the nemesis. The first half of the movie, the villain is a character named Ulysses Klaue, played by Andy Serkis, who also played like Gollum and, you know, a lot of Caesar from the Planet of the Apes movies recently. So he does a lot of like, you know, digital capture stuff, but here he's just playing him like he is.
Oh,
it's his own face. There's no digital trickery, except he's got like a fancy arm that does things. But he's a kind of a sleazy arms dealer kind of guy. And he wants the precious metal that, you know, is at the heart of Wakanda, this stuff called vibranium. And vibranium is the, in the Marvel universe, is the stuff that Captain America's shield's made out of. That's why Captain America has got this awesome shield. So he wants to get that vibranium and then start selling it on the black market and make a bunch of money. So he's the initial villain. And then a guy working for him is a character named Eric Killmonger. And he's actually somebody who has ancestry in Wakanda, and he's a kind of a cousin of the main character. And the second half of the movie is about him breaking away from having worked with Ulysses Klaue to strike out on his own and try to become the king of Wakanda himself and overthrow the government and take it for himself and try to kind of do a similar sort of thing. He wants to get that vibranium and all the technology that Wakanda has out into the world, but his plan is to get it to all sorts of people who have been marginalized or have had racist action taken against them, and to have like an uprising in all of the different countries in the world, so that black people would be, people of African descent would be in charge of everything, and then would be able to mete out their justice on everything. So he sees it as a means to an end for a kind of reparation that he sees as would be a just thing. So these are the two villains that T'Challa has to, as Black Panther, has to combat in the movie.
You say that this movie deals with some pretty sophisticated political questions. What do you mean?
Well, the curious thing, it's a what if kind of movie, right? So the idea is that there's this nation, this fictional nation that's in Africa that was never conquered or was never colonized. It was never conquered by anybody like Muslims or anything like that. So they've been living totally in seclusion. They've retained their deep, deep kind of traditional African religious ideas. And but they also have like this wildly advanced technology to the point where it looks like something out of Guardians of the Galaxy and less like something out of a, you know, something set on Earth. You know, this is getting into like Asgard kind of like Thor area of things. So then the question is that if such a place existed, why would they keep themselves hidden? And why wouldn't they help the people around them? Like, why wouldn't they provide aid or relief to the countries around them in Africa? Why wouldn't they try to stop, I don't know, Hitler in World War II? Why wouldn't they be involved in, you know, stopping colonialism or stopping the slave trade? Or why would they just sit on the sidelines and not do anything? So the questions that it starts to bring up are, you know, questions about isolationism and action, and how do you act and why do you act and should you act? So those are kind of interesting political questions to be asking, and probably are a little more sophisticated than you normally run into in a Marvel superhero movie.
Especially when in the context of that, you got the other Marvel heroes, in particular Captain America, he's kind of trying to stop Hitler and others like that.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, and I think that like in the actual comic books, because like I said, this has been around for 52 years, they did have like storylines where Black Panther was involved in things out in the world, but it's not as though the whole country itself was like bringing its technology to bear and help in times of trouble or crisis or whatever. So that's part of the story is, should he, like as this new king, should he be like previous kings of Wakanda and follow that same sort of strategy? Or should he then strike out and do something different? Should he take a different approach to the world? And this is another part of the story itself as it unfolds.
All these characters in the Marvel Universe all have kind of either their fatal flaw or their thorn in the flesh, whether it's Captain America, it's self-doubt or something like that. All of those things are at work. What is Black Panther's?
Well, it's kind of interesting because it's, on the one hand, it could be looked at as a flaw. On the other hand, it could be looked at as a strength. Depends on the point of view, I guess. Before his death, his king, his dad, who was the king before him, says to him, "The world is changing. Soon there will only be the conquered and the conquerors. You are a good man with a good heart, and it's hard for a good man to be a king." And this is his thing, right? So he is probably nicer and more kind and more merciful than you normally need to be in order to be a superhero. So there are moments where he's being, you know, physically challenged, and instead of killing the person, he shows mercy on them. And it kind of doesn't look like strength at the moment, but then later he's rewarded for that. So that's kind of an interesting element of the film and of the character. So that's really his, maybe like there are characters in the movie that think that he should be stronger and more assertive or more direct than he is, that he should have more, he should take more action. And so like that's, they would look at that as a weakness, but in another way of looking, it would be probably a strength that he's has this warmth and kindness as a character.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Black Panther on this Tuesday afternoon. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. When we come back, the mantle of Black Panther, he says, is semi-religious, and the bottom line is it a good movie? Stay tuned.
He's dressing up to be there too. just like we always do.
Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Thanks to generous supporters, tuition for all incoming residential pastoral ministry and deaconess students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be paid in full. Hi, this is Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess in the 2018-19 academic year at ctsfw.edu.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. AdCruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at AdCruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor, and today, there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armedforces. The LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, doing a little movie review here on this Tuesday afternoon with Pastor Ted Geese. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. We are reviewing the movie Black Panther. Ted, you say that the mantle of Black Panther in this way the story is told is semi-religious. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's probably completely religious. I said semi-religious because from a Christian point of view, if you're the leader of a religious religion, you tend not to be like roughing people up and beating them up and throwing them off of moving cars and whatever, right? So like we don't see the Pope doing that, or we don't see the Synod president doing anything like that. So I say semi-religious because there's this, you know, fisticuff kind of quality to the superhero end of it. But it's the religious part of it is that as king, he's also kind of like the head of the Church of Wakanda. I'm using air quotes. So he's the high priest of the Wakandan panther cult. So there's this kind of deep mythological cosmology that is presented at the beginning of the movie and involves like a panther god. And he's, as the Black Panther, he takes like kind of a, there's a flower that's a heart-shaped flower, and it allows him to, you know, crush it down and drink the nectar of that. And then it allows you to go to this astral plane and like visit and talk with deceased ancestors. So the real religion of Wakanda, this fictional country, is ancestor worship. That's the real religion. That's what's going on. So they will even have like little chants that they will say, like as things are happening, like praise the ancestors. So that's and he's the head of that religion. So he's not just the head of the country, he's also the head of the religion of Wakanda, and that's the kind of religion you've got. So there's no Christianity in Wakanda, there's no Islam in Wakanda, and those are the two predominant religions in Africa actually right now. So this is a different kind of a thing, and he's the head of it. So that is part of this movie, is that kind of thing. And really, you know, people have to be paying attention to that as they're watching it. And then also, like, families with kids that go see it parents should be prepared to have a little conversation about what ancestor worship is, because it's not very common in North America, let's say.
But it is, ironically, very common in the rest of the world, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of places that do have ancestor worship. And it usually goes hand in hand with animism, like the idea that spirits are imbued in objects or in animals or mountains or things like that. So this is not a completely, it's not something that you would not have contact with out in the world. It's not as prevalent right in North America, but it's worth talking about. I think that, like, you know, Christians particularly, like, when you read scripture, you run into things like King David, when he dies, it talks about it in 1 Kings, where he, you know, goes to sleep with his fathers and is buried in the city of David, right? So there is some, you know, kind of conversation like that. When we go to the communion rail, we think about heaven and earth coming together, and that those who are ahead of us, who are alive in Christ Jesus but asleep to the world in their death, that they are with Christ there at the communion rail. We think of that. But it's not like we're encouraged in Scripture to have chit-chats with them. You know, our family members who have died ahead of us, we're not encouraged to talk with them. In fact, Scripture talks about not engaging with mediums, with necromancers, anyone who would have us talk with the dead. And then we ourselves would not want to be doing that. So, you know, like Book of Hebrews says, it's appointed for a man to die once, and afterwards comes the judgment. And then, you know, the Book of Ecclesiastes talks about how the dead don't really have any share with the living. Like, they don't know what's going on with the rest of the, what's going on in the world, and we don't really have congress with them. So these are things where that kind of stuff is more prevalent in ancestor worship, the idea that they're, you know, right there with us. I guess kind of like in the kind of pagan sort of paganization of Western culture that's sort of underway at the moment, you know, you do get kind of like these peculiar little things that people say, like at funerals, that, you know, oh, so-and-so is watching down on us now, or, you know, maybe you're at a wedding and they'll talk about how that family member is there with them now at the wedding. That's not good for Christians to start to engage and you know, talk like that. Like, that's not going to be helpful. So being on guard of ancestor worship is not a bad thing. We should be on guard and have it kind of straighten our head. What our relationship to the, you know, for Christians particularly, what our relationship to the saints that have gone on ahead of us is, and what it is not. This movie would be a good opportunity for families that take kids to it to start to have a conversation about that.
Ted, one of the things that viewers of these superhero movies learn to watch for is the credits. They stick around and watch the credits because often there's a teaser, there's some kind of little Easter egg stuck in there, or blooper reels, depending on what you want to watch. This one has at least one mid-credit scene there. What do we find there?
Yeah, there's two of those. That there's the mid-credit one, and then there's the one at the very end. The one at the very end has got Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier, in it, who's connected to Captain America, and it's kind of one that sets up things towards that Infinity War movie. But the mid-credit scene is one where Black Panther is now at the UN, and he's there as the King of Wakanda, and he's giving a speech to the United Nations, and he's saying, you know, Wakanda will no longer watch from the shadows. We cannot, we must not. It's like a real political speech, right? And then he talks about how we all know the truth more connects us than separates us, but in times of crisis, the wise build bridges while the foolish build barriers. We must find a way to look after one another as if we were one single tribe. So, of course, when you hear that, what does that make you think of?
Well, it sounds a little bit like a critique of wall building.
The wise build bridges and the foolish build barriers, like walls. Like, so there's a little, dig maybe there. Well, in the kindest way, I'll say maybe, but there seems to be a dig there against the current political climate in the United States with President Trump. And So that's there in the mid credits. Like, quite a few people just got up and left before we even got to that point in the credits. After all these years of watching Marvel movies, I'm surprised that people still get up and leave and don't stay for those. But it's kind of an interesting thing to see in the movie that it's in there. It's a little more political, and it actually, that casts the rest of the movie in a kind of a political way, that maybe it's also asking questions then about isolationism versus internationalism, globalism. Is that a secret agenda of the film? Is that important or interesting to the people watching the movie? These are kind of interesting thoughts to think about.
Is it a good movie in and of itself? You say it is self-contained, but does it live up to the positive hype that it's been receiving?
I think that's kind of interesting because it's an action movie, right? It's a superhero movie, so you expect to have a certain amount of action. I think there's some really fun, interesting, kind of cool action sequences in it. I think that probably if it was going to be a really, really good movie in terms of an action kind of superhero movie, it needs a couple more sustained action scenes in it. The kind of concluding big, huge fight scene that happens where you've got like all of these different people all fighting with each other, and then you've got your main character fighting with the other, the villain character, and they're having it out mano a mano. It's very CGI heavy, so it's computer generated imagery, lots of it. They even have like rhinoceroses with armor running around, and it just kind of starts to feel a little fake at that point. And I don't know if that's the result of the 3D, because sometimes 3D doesn't help things feel grounded and real, because I ended up seeing it in 3D. A lot of these movies you end up seeing in 3D. So I don't know if that's like negatively impacting the film, but overall, I think it's a pretty good movie in that it's maybe more thoughtful than you might expect. And it's also, you know, talking about the character of T'Challa, the king, and how he's like kinder and more thoughtful a character. It's nice to see that in a superhero. There's also some things that I think are kind of interesting too, like the fact that there are strong women in the film, but the fact that they're strong and powerful women doesn't actually end up diminishing the strength and power of the men in the film. And there are strong men in the film, but the strength of the men doesn't diminish the women in the film. So there's kind of this complementarian kind of a thing that's going on in the film, which is kind of interesting. Also, there's a lot of really strong family relationships that are set up in the film. So you do have T'Challa's sister, Shuri, who's played by Letitia Wright. And she's kind of like a Q to his James Bond kind of a thing. She makes like gadgets for him, and they have a really close, warm kind of brother-sister kind of relationship, which is nice to see in a movie. And so there's a lot of interesting things going on in that regard in the film. And that makes it kind of a better film than you maybe would expect.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can read his review of Black Panther at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Christianity and Culture is the theme of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, called The Gates of Hell, Confessing Christ in a Hostile World, a series of essays edited by a regular guest, Dr. Scott Murray. That alone should recommend it to you. Find out more about The Gates of Hell, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order The Gates of Hell, Confessing Christ in a Hostile World. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, we're going to talk about a debate about Roman Catholic authority and a school of thought called integralism. Dr. Corey Moss of Hillsdale College will be our guest.
know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The prosperity gospel, godliness, Islam, abortion, religious truth claims, scientism, the centrality of justification. You can meet and hear some of your favorite guests teach on these topics at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Learn more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com and like them on Facebook. Facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado, Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois, and Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.